Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight we have an amazing show ready for you guys. Black Girls Run founders Toni Carey and Ashley Hicks are here to answer your questions and to talk about running. So whether you're a marathon runner or you're someone who's interested in just getting started, definitely this is a podcast for you, and take some really good copious notes. Our co-hosts tonight are Shelley and Grace. So I will introduce them in a moment, but we have them on to join us to ask questions. Just want to make a couple of announcements before we get started. As you know, when you listen in, you can always talk to us. So you can call in 347-237-4616 or use the hashtag BGN Podcast, and we will answer your questions via Twitter and retweet your comments throughout the show. Also, check out Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. On Zazzle.com, we've got tons of merchandise ready there for you to peruse and hopefully purchase. We've got coffee mugs, t-shirts, keychains. So Zazzle.com/blurredgasm. Definitely check that out and support us. All of the monies and the funds that we receive from that go into these podcasts, so it's certainly appreciated. And for those that have already purchased items in the store, thank you. Thank you so much. Also, I want to just throw it out there to you guys. If you have any suggestions for show topics on Black Girl Nerds, email me at jamie@blackgirlnerds.com. Again, that's Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at blackgirlnerds.com. I'm always open to any sort of suggestions or topics that we haven't discussed yet to be integrated into the show. And finally, I want to give a special thanks to Jashunda Sanders, her Twitter handle is @JVIC, for connecting us with Black Girls Run. So the power of Twitter, once again, has allowed us to connect with some really fabulous people. So thank you, Jashunda, for that connection. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the virtual mic over to our co-hosts. We have Shelley and Grace, and in that order, feel free to introduce yourselves, tell us of any projects that you're currently working on, and your social networking shout-outs.
Hi, this is Shelley Ellis. I'm an author, a magazine editor. I have a couple of books out right now. One is Can't Stand the Heat, which I'm really excited about. It's been doing well on Barnes & Noble. I was really excited to see the rankings. And the next book is The Player in the Game. I was really excited to be part of this podcast because I've been running for about 5 years. I ran throughout my pregnancy, and the next race I'm supposed to do is National Race to End Women's Cancer, 8K, in November.
All right. My name is Grace Gibson, and I am a current PhD student at UC Berkeley. Used to live in Atlanta, now out in the Bay Area. Definitely interested in pop culture, so you can check out my blog on Black Savant Cinema, where I talk about film and movies, and even throw in a little bit about geek culture, comic books, and all of that. You can also check me out on Twitter, gbreezy20. And I'm very excited about being on this podcast today. I'm a former high school track and field athlete, and I used to do a lot of running, and just moving out here did that, and just yesterday did a 5K run for diabetes. So looking forward to future stuff. So I look forward to even more motivation today after today's podcast.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, I want to introduce our wonderful guests this evening, and then we'll get to our questions. In 2009, Tony Carey and Ashley Hicks created Black Girls Run in an effort to tackle the growing obesity epidemic in the African-American community and provide encouragement and resources to both new and veteran runners. The mission of Black Girls Run is to encourage African-American women to make fitness and healthy living a priority. Please give a warm welcome to Ashley Hicks and Tony Carey of Black Girls Run.
Yay.
Thank you.
My first question to both of you is, what inspired you to create Black Girls Run?
This is Tony.
Exactly.
We tend to talk at the same time as well, so sorry about that. this is Tony. You know, there are a couple of things that went into us starting Black Girls Run. Ashley had been running for a while, and I started running a little bit after her. And the ongoing sentiment when we told people that we were running was, why? You know, where are you running to? What's up with that? You know, why people don't run? And then on top of that, we would go to road races, and there wouldn't be any black people out there generally. And so we were like, you know, surely there are other black women out there running. Let's start a blog and start talking about our experiences, and maybe, you know, those people will come out of the woodwork, or we can get more people interested.
How has that been for you, Ashley?
It's been a great experience. You know, when Tony and I started, it was so true. Like, we had so many people that were like, why are you guys doing this? And even it's funny, like, I went running the other day, and someone was like, why are you doing this? And so, so So it seems like we can't escape that question, but we're at least, you know, the blog has been great in helping us to spread the word that, you know, Black women, we have to get active, we have to stay healthy. And so far, we've been really happy with the amount of girls that have started running. And the veteran runners out there that embraced us when we first started. So it's been great.
What kind of response did you receive from women when this organization first launched? Was it negative or was it positive or both?
I think it was a lot of positive feedback from women when we first launched. You know, I think that everyone has said that it was kind of perfect timing. You had a couple things going on. You had, you know, the country was like a hot topic about talking about how obese America is as a whole. And then on top of that, the Surgeon General was making statements about Black women putting their hair before their health. So it was just a lot of buzz around, you know, us becoming healthier. And so a lot of people were really, really receptive to the idea. You know, there were a few naysayers, which I think happens in any occasion.
Right.
But as a whole, people have been really positive and super supportive. And you can just see the support in the group growth of our groups. I mean, they've grown because people keep adding their friends to Facebook and telling them about it. And so I would just say people have been really supportive.
I want to throw some questions out to our co-hosts. What questions do you have for Ashley and Tony?
I actually was wondering, where did you all kind of envision Black Girls Run, like when it first started, and like how do you see it maybe even 5 years from now? Because we're going to claim that it's going to still continue. So, like, how would you compare when it first started, you know, what do you kind of see for the future for it?
Yeah, when we started, we thought we were going to write a book, and that was going to be it.
Okay.
The book still hasn't happened, so that definitely is on our list of things to do. But, you know, our main goal is, you know, kind of what we've been doing this entire time is inspiring Black women and really all women to take back their health. We are notorious for putting everyone but ourselves first. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think lowering those obesity numbers too would be a fantastic goal to reach. So, you know, if we didn't have to preach that obesity message anymore, I think that would definitely be a success.
Okay.
I have a question. I remember maybe it was a couple of years ago. I think the Surgeon General, was it Dr. Jocelyn? Jocelyn Elders was talking about it. She was trying to preach to Black women and saying that, like, you should worry about being fit. You shouldn't worry about your hair. And she was kind of ridiculed for that statement. And I was like, well, actually, I think in the Black community, at least with women, that is a major concern with them. So
mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're having to, like, to preach the message for Black Girls Run is like, no, health is important, more important than whether or not how often you have to go to the hairdresser because you sweat out your hair?
Yeah, I couldn't have agreed more with the Surgeon General at the time that, like, that is one of the number one reasons why Black women aren't healthy or aren't being active is because they don't want to sweat out their hair. They spend all that money getting it done. They're like, I want to preserve this style. So I still feel like we address that that issue, and we, you know, with everything, we try to really come from a place of love and a place of solutions. So if the problem truly is that you don't want to get your hair messed up, then, you know, when we do our tour and through the blog and even through the group, there's so much advice on how to manage your hair and running, you know. So it's really like all these tips on whether you have natural hair, whether you have straight hair, you know, perm hair, whatever that looks like. It's like, let's see how we can make this work. Maybe you need to run with it wrapped. Maybe you need to run, you know, whatever. And you see, and it's awesome because you see how many people have, in some ways, figured it out. And they're saying, hey, you know what, I run every night. I go home, I wrap it up, and then it's usually fine in the morning. And they're just giving all this advice, and really that's the great thing about the community. So we have addressed that. And but the other part of that that's been wonderful is that the Black Girls Run movement kind of hit around the same time that natural hair was getting to be really, really popular and mainstream. So we have a friend of mine joked, he said, you know, can you go to the Black Girls Run conference with a perm, or is that like, damn? And I was like, no, I was like, we have lots of girls that have perms, but we have, the majority of our girls are natural because they're saying, you know what, I love the flexibility of being able to work out and not have to worry about keeping my hair straight. So that's been something that's really helped us as well.
I am one of those girls that I keep my hair braided, and part of the reason why I fight my hairdresser, that she's like, you don't want to get it like hot combed once, and I'm like, no, because I'm going to have to go for a run tomorrow, and I don't want to have to deal with the aftermath. So I'll just keep my hair in my braids.
What suggestions would you ladies offer to women who prefer a sedentary lifestyle? I mean, it's so hard to go out there and say, hey, I want to get fit and I want to start running. But there's some of us, I will speak for myself in saying this, that prefer to just be a couch potato, but really do want to get healthy and do want to work out. So what kind of tips would you suggest?
First of all, I don't think I've ever admitted, I ever heard someone admit that they wanted, they're okay with being a couch potato. So thank you for being honest about that. you know, I think you have to look at the long-term effects of what being a couch potato means. You know, obviously there's health issues, and there's just a quality, it all goes back to quality of life. And, you know, we all want to live a good life, a healthy life, be around for our grandkids. And so you kind of have to weigh the options. Would I rather be a couch potato and live to see maybe 60, maybe, or, you know, get out and walk a mile every day and increase my chances of living longer than that. So, you know, I think you have to make up in your mind what type of life you want to live. And I would venture to say we all want to live the best life possible. No one, hopefully no one on this earth just wants to be mediocre. And so being healthy is a part of that.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times people, too, haven't found what they enjoy when it comes to being active. They, you know, we have this really kind of, in our head, I think a lot of times when we think of, like, exercise, it's like sometimes, like, a Jane Fonda video comes to mind, and it's like, I don't want to do that, you know? And
right.
Like every time I talk to people, I said, you know what, you have to find out what works for you, because that's when you'll be successful, and that's when you'll stick with it, and that's when you'll enjoy working out, and you'll learn that that's something that, you know, I every night I enjoy, you know, doing Zumba, or I enjoy, you know, even salsa dancing or yoga or whatever that is. So I think it's just empowering people to take that step of exploring and finding their passion of what, you know, what they enjoy about being active, and then encouraging them to stick with that.
Why do you believe that running is important? What is it about running that is of value to people?
I think running.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think running is important and it's valuable to people because they start to understand the benefits of running that go beyond just, you know, the physical benefits. So it's really, from a lot of people, it's like, I'm running because I'm doing this instead of going to drink a bottle of wine, or I'm doing this as a way instead of, you know, eating my feelings, or I'm just doing this as a way to decompress at the end of the day and deal with stress. Because, you know, the older you get, you know, we all have lead stressful lives. So I think that that's something that we hear so many times, is that people say, you know what, I love this because this is my way of really coping with things in my life. I can't even tell you how many people have said, I've run through a divorce. I run through losing my mom or dad. I run through my kids being in high school and me just trying to get them out the house and on to college. And so I think that that's, you know, and that's part of the reason of why people stick with it too, is they really enjoy the endorphins and the rush of it and the way that it makes them feel.
Yeah, I also think running has the unique ability to show people how strong they really are. I mean, oftentimes we put these limitations on ourselves that, you know, we can't run a 5K or a marathon or, you know, even an ultra, but we are so much stronger than what we think, and I think that running sort of unlocks that door to what we're really capable of.
Right. What are some healthy suggestions of foods to eat for someone who's interested in running?
I mean, obviously, cutting back on high-calorie foods, you know, that's huge. And, you know, we tell people take baby steps. So if that means only eating out once a week or on the weekends, you know, that's a success. I really think that the age of convenience has caused a great deal of what we're dealing with in this obesity epidemic. So even just eliminating that, I think, is helpful. And then, you know, you don't need to get everything perfect when you start, right? So this is a work in progress. It's going to take some time to figure out your diet and nutrition because it is very complicated, or as complicated as you want it to be. But, you know, fruits, vegetables, lean meats, low carb, you know, that's kind of the basics.
Yeah, we, you know, something that a lot of the groups have really caught on to and really focused on is just eating clean. And I know that's like a buzzword right now, but clean eating, it really is important. So it's eliminating all of those chemicals that we find in our food. It's eliminating the artificial sweeteners. It's, you know, going back to the basics of eating just wholesome foods that I think become really important for people and really helps to lead to success.
I wanted to also ask, in addition to, like, doing Black Girls Run, so do you also, I guess, not per se, have other groups that you're a part of, but do you kind of, like, mix some of the other things that you may do outside of Black Girls Run with Black Girls Run? So, like, if you know, part of other organizations or if, you know, maybe charities or so forth. So do you say, like, there's, like, I guess, partnership with others outside of Black Girls Run?
Yeah, we had a really great relationship with Girls on the Run, which is for elementary to middle school girls, and it's empowering them through running, as the name alludes to. And so I've had a really good opportunity and to volunteer with them, and you know, we'll be working with the local Atlanta Girls on the Run group here. And so that's, you know, that's whenever you can pass down those healthy habits and just be an example, because that's something that's very rare these days, especially to young girls. So
right.
It's been a way to be able to do that.
Okay.
What are the best type of running shoes to purchase when you're just getting started?
Oh, gosh, that's a really popular question. It's almost impossible to recommend a specific type of running shoe because everyone is so different. So when you're first getting started running, I think one of the most important things that you do is to go get a gait analysis. And what a gait analysis is you go to a running shoe store and they take a look at how you run, so how your foot plants when it hits the ground. And from there, they can recommend a shoe that fits you best. This is a lesson I wish I had learned when I first started running back in 2006. It took me probably a year or two to even, like, go get a gait analysis. And because I was running in the wrong shoes, I started having injuries and, like, my back would hurt, my knees would hurt. So it's just something that we really highly recommend is to just go ahead and go to the running shoe store. There's no – the gait analysis is it's free. But they'll just tell you what shoes work best for you. So if you're a neutral runner, if you overpronate, underpronate, whatever that is, they'll put you in a good shoe and allow you to test out in the store.
And is there a website for that, or where can listeners go to get that assessment?
Yeah, I would just Google your local running store. So, like, here in the Atlanta area, there's several chain running stores that all do it, like Big Peach. But, yeah, go to your local running store, and it's a complimentary service that they offer. It's pretty standard that they want to make sure, too, that they're able to fit you in a shoe that you're going to be successful in and like. So yeah, just local running stores.
That's good stuff. For the moments that we hit our plateau, what tips do you have to keep us going? Any sort of suggestions when we hit that plateau and we're just like, okay, I'm kind of over it? What can we do to stay motivated?
Yeah, whenever, you know, you're hitting a plateau and you're like, oh, I can't run another mile, I'm over it. I always, I try to do a good mix of things. So I am a yoga enthusiast. I love yoga. So I try to keep a balance between running and yoga so it doesn't get mundane. But then, you know, also exploring other stuff, whether, like I just learned to swim about 2 years ago. And so that's another thing that I can go to when I don't really feel like running. And I love going to the gym, so if they don't feel like running, I'll just get on the elliptical. But definitely keep the variety there. The quickest way to burn out is to only do one thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I love to do when I feel like I've hit a plateau is to create a new challenge for myself. So if I get to that point, I'm like, you know, maybe I need to sign up for a race. Maybe I need to sign up for a duathlon. Maybe I need to go learn something new. Like maybe I need to take a karate class or something. But yeah, so really create that new challenge for myself so that I feel motivated again. Really kind of, you know, sparking a new interest. I feel like that always helps me. And then I end up coming back to running because I'm going to do that for a while. And then I'm going to say, you know what, I really, really want to run again. So that's kind of what has helped me.
Have you guys, like, ever participated in the fun or the obstacle course type of races, like the Tough Mudders and stuff like that? Because I know some people who are constant runners, that they said, like, they do races like that just for something to challenge them mentally, physically, that doesn't deal with the monotony sometimes that comes with running.
Yeah, this is actually – I haven't actually run one of those yet. It's on my to-do list.
Okay.
Definitely feel like a Tough Mudder or something like that. But yeah, you know, and I just read a really interesting article that those are really popular too because they're not, a lot of them aren't timed. So they don't actually report your time. And so people, they don't have that pressure. They're like, I'm just out here, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to run through this paint or whatever it is and enjoy myself. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have not gotten to do one either. So definitely, put that on the list to do.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to go back when you mentioned that Black Girls Run first started as a blog. How did you build this idea, this concept of getting African-American women to start running from a blog to where you have chapters all over the country, you sponsor a lot of events? How did you get from point A to where you are now?
It was really by accident. We had been blogging for a while and decided that we should have a meetup. And at that time, meetups were really popular. Everyone was doing it. And so we just posted on our blog, hey, we're going to run the Georgia Publix Marathon. We're going to have a pre-race meetup, and you should come join us. And when we showed up, there were other people that showed up, and, you know, they came from all over the country. So we had people from Little Rock, New Jersey, all over. And the resounding takeaway from that event was, wow, I really wish I had this in my community. And so shortly after that, we were like, okay, what would it look like if we started running groups in different cities across the country? And so, again, we took to the blog and posted, hey, if you want a Black Girls Run group in your city, email us and we'll start one. And the emails just rolled in like crazy. And it's kind of been history ever since then. And, you know, I have to say that we owe Mark Zuckerberg something because Facebook and social media has just been a tremendous impact or made a tremendous impact on the movement and word of mouth. So, you know, friends tell friends, and it's just gone viral.
Wow, nice. We have a question on Twitter from Melody Gordon. She wants to know, what was everyone's first 5K like? I want to run one, but I have a lot of fears about it. And the co-hosts that have ran the 5K as well, feel free to answer that question. But Tony, what was your first 5K like?
I don't think I did a 5K, actually. I think I went straight for a 10K.
Wow.
Now that I'm thinking about that, that was probably was not smart. So my first 10K, I remember showing up way, way early, super, super nervous. My cousin was with me, and we didn't know, like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing, and there were other people running, like, warming up. And she was like, cousin, shouldn't you be warming up? And I was like, I don't know. And so I just remember just being a ball of nerves the entire time, but the feeling that I had afterwards was like nothing I had ever felt before. And, you know, to this day, it's that feeling that keeps me going back to do races and running.
What about you, Ashley?
Yeah, my first 5K, I was trying to think back, and I remember my first 5K. I was just really excited. I got out there, like, I was really focused on my time. Like, I knew, I was like, okay, I have to run this in, like, I think it was, like, under 28 minutes or something like that. So I was just really focused on my time, and it was actually, a local race when I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I was excited, and I remember afterwards, I think what sticks out most in my mind was, like, I posted pictures and done a blog post, and everyone was like, did you run in cotton? And I was like, yeah, I wore the t-shirt, like, one of the t-shirts that I did have on these, like, cotton shorts, too. And this was back in the day when I was just, like, out there running. I wasn't really into, like, oh, I gotta have on certain, you know, running tights or anything like that. And so I was like, I had a blast and I beat my time. So I was excited about that. But it was just a good experience. The only thing that was, I was lonely because it was like me. And I remember there was one other black guy there.
Wow.
So it wasn't too diverse. And so in the post race party, I remember just being like, I'm just going to get my bagel and go home. I don't have anyone to talk to.
Aw. What about,
I know for me, the 5K that I did yesterday, like, I think my motivation was that I was doing it for a cause. So I was with my sorority sisters, and, you know, we were like, well, you know, we're running and walking for diabetes. So I think that was kind of like the motivation that got me through. And then I was just kind of like, I got to finish, you know. I really wasn't kind of focused on the time. I was just really like, okay, we start at point A, we get to, you know, point B, and if I make it, that's a win for me. And so, because when I start thinking about time and all that, then it, like, I get messed up. So I had to, like, take my focus away from that and think about, okay, I'm doing this for a cause and I want to finish. Because it was like, I didn't want to disappoint. Even though it's like, I'm not really disappointing, but that's kind of like what was the drive for me. So, and, like, as I was doing it, you know, I had everybody, there was, like, a group of us going, and so we were, like, motivating each other. And so once we got to the end, it was like, yeah, we did this. You know, it was like, it was all each other's cheerleaders, and, you know, we had our moments where there's a few people who were like, oh, I can't do it. But it was kind of like, you know, we want to get to the end, we want to finish. So I think that's kind of, like, what was the motivation for me with that specific 5K, definitely.
Nice.
Well, my first 5K was, the goal was also just to make it to the end. We said that we wanted to finish under a 12-minute mile pace, and that was our only goal. And the person I ran with is a friend who's going to do the Marine Corps Marathon later this year. And it was challenging. The first part was fun, like most races, and then once you get towards the end, you're just ready for it to be done. And so she finished way ahead of me, but when I finally finished, I was so elated, and we beat the time that we were shooting for. And the first thing we said is that we need to do this again. And we were one of the few black people out there. But for us, it wasn't more that where are the other black people. It was more that we're glad that we were at least the black people who represented here.
that was the feeling for us.
What are some recommendations for training for a 5K, a 10K, or a marathon?
Definitely find a training plan. There's lots of great training plans out there. For a 5K, the most popular one is Couched 5K, which you can Google. And then Black Girls Run has our own training program. It's called Walk Before You Run, which you can find on our website. As far as, like, half marathon and marathon training, some of my favorite ones that that I've done are by Hal Higdon, H-I-G-D-O-N. And then I'm looking at following one by, it's called the Hansen Training Method. And so those are two that I really like.
Yeah, and I think another important thing with training for, like, your longer distance, like a half and your full marathon, is to really take, you know, people's advice on, like, how to rest and incorporate icing and stretching and rolling, because the longer distances, you're more prone to injuries. So I would just say from personal experience, it's like really, you know, after your runs, make sure that you're stretching, make sure you're rolling out. If something starts to get tight, make sure you're icing it and just doing all of those things, like all of those maintenance things that will help you in the long run. No pun intended there.
Now, you brought up on Black Girls Run, Walk Before You Run, that training program. Can you elaborate more on what that training program is about?
Sure. The Walk Before You Run program is basically just an introductory program for anyone who has never run a 5K before. You know, running is super intimidating, so we wanted to set people up for success. So what's a little different about the Walk Before You Run program than the Couch 5K program is we start you out with 3 weeks of walking. So you're literally just walking for 30 minutes. And then, obviously, it progresses to get you up to completing your first 5K. But we never say, the plan never says, like, go and run 2 miles or run 1.75 miles. It's all time-based. And that's a little less intimidating as well, because when you think about miles, it just sounds really far. But if you say, okay, go out and run 30 minutes, you're like, oh, I can do that. And so... Again, it's baby steps and something that's easily digestible.
When would you suggest is the best time to start a goal to run a marathon? For veteran runners, when is a good time to get started on that?
I think that, you know, running a marathon, I think that, you know, I don't know that there would be necessarily a good time or best time to suggest. I think it's so personal. I know when before I ran my first marathon, I had no intentions. I didn't even know if I really ever wanted to run a full. And so someone said, you know, hey, we'd love to have Black Girls Run at the New York City Marathon. It'd be great. And I was like, you know what, I'll just go for it. And in going into it now, looking back, I was like, oh, I was so naive and innocent doing that. so I would just recommend it to anyone because what I realized, like, after I started training, and I did, like, a full 18-week training program, I knew I needed to run, I wanted to run a certain time. And so looking back, what I realized is that you have to just kind of make up in your own mind that that's an accomplishment that you want because it's so mental. It's not even the physical aspect of it. It's the mental aspect of it. I remember being at mile 21 and just thinking, I really want to stop. And it's probably one of the greatest mental challenges that I've had in terms of, like, having to press forward. So I think that maybe the good time is if you're looking for that kind of challenge, something to really challenge you and challenge your determination and to really challenge your stamina, I think that that's when you might be ready for a marathon.
What is your favorite music to listen to while running?
This
this is Ashley. I'll start and then I'll let Tony go because I actually don't listen to music. I know that's really boring, but but when I run, I run and I pray. So I always say that running is my time to talk to God. And so it's like I meditate, I pray, I get lots of good ideas when I run, I think through things. It's really my me time. So I listen, so I don't have any good music that I listen to because I don't listen to music. Tony?
I listen to a lot of hip-hop and alternative music, like something you would definitely find in the club, so it's hard the entire way.
I have a question. What do you guys, because you talked about meditating and praying, what do you do when you have that moment when you hit the wall, when you feel like I can't go any further? For me, I usually think about my daughter. Then I'm like, she's on the other end, and if you don't get to her in a certain amount of time, it's done. So what do you guys do to get you through that point when you're like, I just can't do it. I can't go any further.
This is Ashley. I have a good story. When before I ran Chicago, it was the training was really challenging. I was like, this is my second, you know, full marathon. I'm doing all this training. I had injuries. And so I'm in the running store, and I'm talking to this guy. He said, you know what, the blessing is outside of your comfort zone. And that just really resonated with me on so many different levels. So when I was running the actual marathon and I felt like I had hit my wall at mile, like, 23, I kept saying in my head over and over, the blessing is outside your comfort zone. And I had to keep saying that to myself to really help me kind of push through.
Yeah, for me, it definitely is repeating a scripture. I remember I did the Disney marathon in January and got injured very early on. And this guy runs by, and on the back of his shirt, he has the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm. And I repeated that from mile 6 to mile 26.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, I think he had passed me at some point on the course, and then I caught up with him or something, and he was like, because I had mentioned something about his shirt when I saw that, I was like, thank you for that. And we were kind of just, you know, encouraging each other along the way. So that's like my go-to scripture whenever I feel like I hit the wall.
I think that's so amazing that you bring that up, because even though I wouldn't call myself a runner, and I'm so inspired by doing this podcast because I want to be able to get in the spirit of running again. When I have done walks and runs, I've repeated that same scripture in my head, and it inspired me to keep going. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And certainly, I guess my question at this point is, you know, for someone who is still stuck, that doesn't feel really inspired to be physically active, you know, what are the first steps one should take to just get out there and just start walking? I mean, running is something that is obviously something that you do in the long run, and once you've reached a point of physical activity, that's something that you do on a regular. But if you're just getting started, what are those steps that you can take to just get walking and get active?
Wow, that's a really good question. You know, we've talked about how running is so mental, and I think that the idea of even starting to walk is mental as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to almost have a come to Jesus meeting with yourself.
Mm.
You know, like, what are you doing? You know, what is it that you really want to accomplish? What type of person is it that you want to be? Because I think that running in particular, but even being active, has a way of melding with your spiritual self, whether that whatever it is that you practice.
Right.
And I think we're all looking for a purpose and wanting to really figure out, you know, why are we all here? And so I think you have to do that self-evaluation of who am I right now, and who is it that I want to be, and how does being active fit into that?
Where are some of the Black Girls Run chapters across the country? Because you guys are everywhere. Where can our listeners go to find out more about your chapters, and where are they located?
Yeah, so we have chapters in pretty much all of the major metropolitan areas. We have almost 70 chapters across the U.S., so there's a lot of chapters from Houston to Dallas, to Atlanta, New York, San Francisco Bay Area. We're all over. So the best thing to do to find out more information is go to our website, blackgirlsrun.com, and look for the group that is closest to you.
What are the benefits of joining in a chapter with Black Girls Run, what, other than just being able to have a community and being able to run with others? Are there any other added benefits in joining a chapter with Black Girls Run in particular?
You know, we provide a lot of different resources. We partner with a lot of different organizations, and I think we're always looking for ways to introduce people to new things maybe that they have never, you know, thought about or been wanting to try or didn't want to try. So, like, one of the big things that we do each year is our racing conference, which will be coming back to Atlanta September 2014. And it's a weekend of learning, really. And you can come and do yoga for athletes, or you can do we had self-defense classes. We had, weightlifting, weight training, nutrition classes. And so, you know, I think it's opportunities like that keep your fire, you know, lit. And then we do a 10K and 5K as well during that weekend. So, you know, our whole thing is education, because we feel like that's really, really begins. When you're educated, you make better decisions, you're more knowledgeable, and then the rest goes from there.
That's awesome.
I would say, too, definitely don't underestimate that sense of community, because some of the Black Girls Run girls that I know are hardcore. It's like a sorority. So I'm like, they're connected. They make sure their outfits are matching when they go on their races together. And they're, like, texting each other, like, girl, did you do your run today? I did my run. And I'm like, it's funny because I make fun of my friend who does it, because I'm like, you guys, you're like AKAs or something. But to me, it gives them a sense of accountability to each other. So that it's really hard to slack off when you're training, when you have your girlfriends are like, what do you mean you didn't do your run today? So
right.
To me, that seems to be the thing that keeps some of them, like, seriously going. And I'm like, if some people look for the inspiration from within, and some people look for it from the outside. So I think having Black Girls Run for some people really is the motivation they need to stay healthy and stay active. So if you're the person who's a couch potato, but you like to be social, I would say join an organization like Black Girls Run, because, like I said, the girls that I know who belong to it are serious about it. They are connected with each other. It is, like I said, it's like a club. And I'm like, you guys go. I can see you from a mile away with your outfits on, so.
That's a really good point. The camaraderie and the accountability are so huge. And, you know, the research has shown time and time again that you're more likely to reach your goals when you have a good support system. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound really corny, it's the most loving and positive setting that I've ever been a part of. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, of the position I'm in, but whenever you walk into a room with a bunch of Black Girls Run members, I feel like it's just so much positivity, and I've never experienced that before. And, you know, we have this stereotype, Black women don't get along and all that. There's always drama. Mm-hmm. And it is totally not like that. It's just
good vibes, everyone's happy. And,
it's all those endorphins from running.
Yeah, it's all those endorphins, exactly.
Have you guys received any testimonials? I mean, I'm sure you have, but can you share with us some testimonials from women who have just their lives changed as a result of being a part of Black Girls Run?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, everywhere we've been able to go, people come up to us and share their stories about how their lives have changed. And I think it's just, it's anything from, like, that, you know, they've lost weight or they were pre-diabetic and, you know, needing to take medication. But now all of those symptoms have gone away because they're working out and eating right. You know, and I think that, you know, some of the important stories too are that I really appreciate are a lot of the moms who come up and tell their stories about how they also feel like they're such a good role model for their daughter or their son, and they want to run, and, you know, they come to the races, and or they get home and they're like, Mom, how's your 5K? You know, do you run negative splits? So for me, like, I really just appreciate those testimonials because, you know, our focus has always been women. And so people always say, well, what about the kids? And I'm like, well, you know, that isn't our focus right now. But it's so nice to see that a lot of moms who are passing the knowledge that they get through Black Girls Run and those healthy habits onto their kids. So I don't know, I just appreciate those stories.
That's awesome. Any final questions, Grace, Shelley, before we wrap up?
I have one question. There was, like, an article maybe a while back in Runner's World, and they talked about how, like, Black people traditionally are not long-distance runners. We're usually short-distance runners. Like, how do you get into the mindset of, no, I can run 26 miles? Like, how do we break past that stereotype of, like, we're the 800-meter runners, but we're not going to be the people who go on for miles and miles and miles?
You know, I think it's part of it is, like, planting that seed in our community because it's almost like it's so engraved in us that, like, you know what, we only do, yeah, we run the 100, we run the 200, we play basketball, because that was also mentioned, like, in the Runner's World, they're like, we play basketball or, you know, some of those more traditional sports like football. And so I think it's, like, a lot of with running, for me at least, is mental. So it's, like, once that seed is planted that this is something that we can do, then people start to own that. And I see it time and time again in the running groups. Like, someone says, hey, you know what, you can run a mile. And or, like, you know, they're out there running and their friend's like, well, if she can do it, I can do it. So it's like having those examples and having those people be encouraging that I think has really transformed the way our community looks at distance running.
Okay.
Good stuff. Well, I know you mentioned this before, but again, where can our listeners find out more about Black Girls Run and how to join one of your chapters?
Yeah, definitely go to our website, blackgirlsrun.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Black Girls Run, on Twitter at Official Black Girls Run. I'm sorry, on Twitter at Black Girls Run, Instagram at Official Black Girls Run. And when you go to our website, you sign up, be a member, and find a group closest to you, and then go out and hit the pavement with them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ashley and Tony, for showing up on this podcast, giving us some really inspiring motivational material to work with. And I'm definitely going to start running myself. So I really appreciate you appearing on the podcast, and thank you to Shelley and Grace for co-hosting tonight. Next week, we will have Rachel Brody and Jazz from Geek Girl Con. They're actually going to be there live, and they will join us to discuss the event as it's taking place, the various panels that's going on, and the activities that are happening at the convention. So tune in next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ashley, Tony, thank you again. This was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.